This is the Friday, September 27, 2024 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. End of quarter positions and an approaching USDA report seem to be upstaged by drier conditions in Brazil. For the week, the nearby wheat contract added 12 cents and the December corn contract expanded 16 cents. The soybean complex fed on the stimulus news from China while also benefiting from a soybean oil rally. The November soybean contract gained 54 cents, while December meal jumped $24.90 per ton. December cotton shrank 79 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, October Class 3 milk futures declined 80 cents. The livestock market was mixed. December cattle strengthened $1.28. November feeders put on $3.92. And the December lean hog contract fell by 85 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index lost 32 ticks. November crude oil sold off $2.91 per barrel. COMEX gold improved $23.30 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index increased more than a point to settle at 533.25. Joining us now is one of our regular market analysts, Dan Huber. Hi, Dan.
Hi there. Good to be here.
This wheat market had a nice little bump in September, but the month is coming to the end. The quarter is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. Is that really the big factor in the market right now?
Well, certainly it helped some of the short covering in all of the markets. I mean, wheat, corn, soybeans, all three. I think wheat, of course, doesn't have a big harvest story to talk about as we do in the corn and beans here at this point in time. So a little bit more of a follower than a leader, I think, at this point in time, which to a certain extent is unfortunate for corn especially, because you know, corn's really not going to go anywhere unless wheat really kind of starts picking up the ball and running with it. So it's but again, with wheat, we just don't have enough of a story to excited right now.
Watching the last 3 out of 4 months, it's pretty even.
Absolutely.
On the trend. What do you see breaking it out?
Well, you know, and again, that's normally a typical pattern when markets are at a bottom. You know, we're trying to find value. We're trying to, definitely a transition area. You know, maybe definitely is a strong word, but it seems to be in a transition area. You know, it could be something in the southern hemisphere. You know, we're really not just getting going with the soybean planting in southern hemisphere, but, you know, we've got wheat conditions to look at. Same thing over in Australia. I think Australia has been pretty respectable weather here so far, but, you know, they just seem to go back from feast to famine. So you know, any of those things could really power it up. You know, Russia, Ukraine are always going to be major influences on what we have. Russia, especially when it comes to the wheat market. And, you know, we'll see what the winter holds in store for them. So
in corn, 416 seemed to be that strong resistance point.
Right.
We closed above that today. What does that mean?
Oh, I think it, longer term, it probably says we are transitioning away from a bear market, at least into a sideways market. I don't think it necessarily means we're going to scream out of here at this point in time, but I think it provides further credence to those of us who think we have a major low in the markets at this point in time. Now we're just going to have to start developing a reason that we can come out of these ranges, which might take a little while.
This harvest low is very early, if that's in.
If it's in.
Right? Correct. It would be extremely
early
low.
Early September. Yes, it is, although we truly have not moved very significantly away from that point at this time. And I wouldn't be surprised if we'll bounce around. We'll try to, maybe we won't test the extreme low again, but we might come back, you know, half to three quarters of what we've just rallied, you know, sometime here over the next 30 days. But I think it's unlikely that we'll probably go all the way down, test it, or take it out. But you know, I think when you look at the markets as a whole, we've been lower for 2 years, and in any bear market, I mean that's really about as long as you can extend them down. So yeah, not that surprising to see maybe an early seasonal low after a situation like that. So,
any credence to the thought that maybe this harvest isn't as strong as what once was thought, maybe even as little as 6 weeks ago?
You know, I guess I'm not haven't walked enough fields to put a lot of credence to it. The folks I've spoken with so far that have done corn have been very pleased with the corn. You know, not only for—
You're not supposed to say that out loud.
Well, you know, I guess I was going to add into that, you know, soybeans, maybe not so much. Not that the yields have been bad by any stretch of the imagination, but boy, you know, that dry August, throughout most of the Midwest, I mean, when you really need to be filling out those soybeans, just wasn't there. So, I mean, in fact, to the fellow I spoke with the day before yesterday, said a lot of beans, a lot of little beans, you know, so the test weight's there, but boy, it's just not what you're going to look for, gangbuster type yields.
So maybe more in beans is on the size of the harvest, not it's dry in Brazil and oh, it might rain at some point, or China came to buy. Are any of those three stories more dominant than another?
You know, I think the I would probably weight the South American issues as the dominant one. I mean, they are not really getting moving on planting and soybeans. They're definitely behind a year ago at this point. You know, probably counterbalance in there is that Argentina is probably going to go a little stronger on beans this year on corn, but, you know, they're not looking at the greatest conditions either. So I think that rises to the top. The other two are supportive factors. Certainly that move in the bean oil this week really kind of get the ball rolling. Now, that fizzled out Thursday, Friday, but, you know, meals turned around, picked up the slack today, so.
Well, I've asked you this question, I think, twice. Let's do it a third time, but okay. I'm going to give you a different answer on this one. This is Gary in Wisconsin wants to know, Dan, what is the larger factor in the shorts getting out of the beans? Is it the China stimulus that just passed or South American weather?
You know, I'll tend to shift a little bit harder to the South American weather.
Okay.
And you know, again, seasonality. You know, this is the time of the year where we know we're in the next 30 days, we have got our heaviest supply of beans for the next year. And so that's already factored into the market. So why stay short at this point in time?
When you hear a story about tariffs, mm-hmm. and you hear an election's coming,
sure.
and you hear China's economy is soft, where does China factor in right now, Dan, on the commodities? And is there one in particular that we need to be sensitive to about our relationship with China?
You know, China's always going to be important, particularly when the bean market, you know, corn certainly a much, much less of an input there. I mean, Mexico is probably going to be a bigger question mark on that one with some of the talk we've heard. China is, we're going to use us as the supplier of last resort. No two ways about it. Granted, if things really turn sour in Brazil, they'll step up their purchases here. But gosh, when you look at the numbers over the last year, I mean, they have really shifted away from us, done a great job. Now, granted, they've had the available supply out of South America. There's no guarantee that will necessarily be there as large moving forward. But you know, they're going to be the dominant player in the bean market, but, you know, we get a smaller and smaller percentage of that share each year. So it's, granted, that's probably only going to drop so far, but they've had their own issues, not only economics, but, of course, in the hog industry over there. You know, that's probably stabilized a little bit. They might see their numbers stabilize and grow. But, boy, you know, they've had less demand for soybean meal, you know, in total. So
this is hopefully a quick question. In beans right now, November closed at... getting that in the light, Paul. 1066.
Okay.
Is that something that you're selling right now?
I think, and I was kind of shooting for beans to get to 1070, okay. which they pretty much did today, so yes.
And that corn at 418, are you selling some of that right now?
Yeah, 418 to 425, certainly. I think you take a little piece of that. I think over time, you're going to see better levels down the road, but if you need to move some product out of the field, those are good numbers to work at.
Because I think we've sat here in certain recent weeks past going, if we could just get a quarter or a dime, here we got 50 cents.
Right.
And we're thinking, let's hold a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to cotton, okay. If we shall. This is a market that had gone higher and higher, and then middle of the week to the end of the week came. China or an export story, or is it a little hurricane?
Well, the hurricane certainly is added into it. They know it's going to disrupt some of the harvest as we move forward here. You know, not that China couldn't fit into that picture too, but no, I mean, I think the advance we saw was long overdue. Really, a few weeks ago, that market had tried to start turning out. It was acting like it wanted to come out of the base. You know, that the stimulus of the weather probably helped that task on just a little bit here. Here again, too, I don't think we're going to get carried away. We probably milked about all we can out of this first move up here. But I think cotton, along with most of the other commodities, seems to be in a transition phase. You know, we've moved from a two-year-long bear market, pretty dramatic bear market in cotton, and now we're transitioning to a stable to, I think, higher prices as we move into the months ahead.
I think you said you used the word hurrah in one of your newsletters this week for live cattle. is the last hurrah here for live cattle?
You know, that was a relatively impressive rebound we saw this week. But yes, I don't see where we really continue to push the cattle up here. I think there's too many competing meats out there. Granted, the pork has done a pretty good job of coming out of its depths of depression here a few months ago. But even there, I think that one's probably exhausted itself for the time being, maybe needs a little bit of pullback, but I think it's just to think we can continue to push cattle up in the new highs once again, I think is a tall order.
Only one person gets the top. You can't see the top, or you can't pick the top, but you could. Can you see it from here is what I'm hearing you say?
I think we probably look backwards and see it, but okay. it's close enough that not time to be greedy about what we have in front of us.
In the feeder cattle market then? Mm-hmm. Where's the top in that one?
You know, a similar situation in the feeder cattle market. You know, it's had a nice rebound overall over the last two to three weeks. You know, particularly if we're going to see the grain markets, corn market in particular, start to look a little livelier to the upside, I think that's going to deter some demand in that feeder market. So, yeah, I think we're probably exhausting that one as well.
So possibly part of the most recent rally was because of the lower corn and fueling it a little bit?
Well, you know, I mean, certainly the lower corn or the stagnant corn probably helped stimulate it again, thinking that, you know, maybe we're going to try to feed a little bit more than what people thought maybe even a week or 3 or 4 weeks ago. But yeah, I think that if we start seeing corn generally stabilize here, it's going to be pretty difficult to sustain any strength in the feeders.
Live cattle seem to have this tie to the economy in general. Mm-hmm, sure. Feeder cattle, a little more tied to the weather and the conditions. It's plenty dry in cattle area and continuing to get dry. Is there any factor in that in either cattle or feeders that we're watching too?
You know, I guess it would be silly to say that there isn't some kind of an impact there, but isn't a major one at this point in time. Moving into the winter months, I don't think that's probably as big as normal years.
Hogs and the hogs had a report this week. What did you see from that?
Neutral report. I mean, pretty much everything was right on top of expectations. You know, herds are very stable here at this point. Don't seem to be generating much growth or contraction either one. So it you know, the hogs, big thing we need in hogs is additional demand here at this point.
Where does that come from?
Well, you know, and again, there's where China could come into play. I mean, they do continue to import a little bit of pork from us, but it's, you know, the demand's probably going to have to be generated at the retail counter. And if you look at dollars and cents-wise, boy, it's pretty tough to beat the value of pork here compared to a lot of other meats at this point in time.
Crude oil has some value for some, mm-hmm. Frustrating for others. OPEC said, you know what? We think we are going to do some production changes.
Start boosting. Yeah, and again, it's always been an age-old story. They come up with their quotas. We're going to cut back in production. There's always on the fringe somebody cheating on that. And it really looks like the Saudis have decided, you know, we're giving up too much market share to other members. We're going to go ahead and start boosting production here at the end of December. You know, we're at the lowest levels we've seen in crude oil since the mid-20s. You know, probably a bigger concern or risk for them is that economy in China going to stabilize or is it going to continue to deteriorate because they are the major player on world crude imports at this point in time. So we'll see if that really takes us down to the bottom. But, I mean, at a minimum, it should say we're not looking at outlandish fuel prices as we move over the next 3 to 6 months. So,
all right. Dan Huber, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the time, Dan Huber. And we're going to pause this analysis, continue our discussion about these markets in our Market Plus segment. You can find both analysis and plus on our website of markettomarket.org. The Harvest 24 images are great to see on Instagram. We've posted some of our own and love to see the tags that you've given to at Market to Market Show. Give our account a follow as well if you're out there scrolling. Next week, we'll give extra attention to a large government report landing in the middle of harvest. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great week.